This is the Diana DeRosa interview with Equus Television Worldwide correspondent Diana DeRosa. Join Diana as she traverses the globe, bringing you the latest information from equestrian newsmakers, newsbreakers, athletes, and luminaries from across the global equestrian spectrum. The Diana DeRosa interview starts now.
I'm speaking with Alex Mercer. He is a master farrier, and he lives in England and is the international judge for the American Farriers Association convention taking place in Little Rock, Arkansas. Well, that's a pretty prestigious position. I mean, you've got to really look out for those horses and make sure everything goes right. Well, I want to thank you for talking with me today. But before we begin, I want you to tell a little bit about how you first got involved with horses and how that led to you being a farrier.
Well, it all started when I was a child, really. My mum and dad had horses on the farm. We had Welsh ponies, and my dad bred them. Always had four or five foals every year, and the collection just got bigger and bigger. And then I started riding those, and then formed into then carriage driving as well, where I did scurry driving. It just went from there, really. Through my teenage years, I fell out of love with horses, but then came back to it later on when I was around 20 years old, and I joined the British Army, and I joined one of the senior regiments of the British Army called the King's Troop, which are quite famous for firing the 41-gun salutes in Hyde Park and Green Park in London. And that's where I became a farrier as well. I was trained in the British Army, did 12 years in the Army, so...
Wow, that's a great story, actually, though. Last time I was in England was for the Olympic Games.
Right.
pretty good thing you did there.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So what can people expect at the American Farriers Association convention?
Good question. I'd like to ask the same as well. So, yeah, I've never been, but it's been a real honor to be to ask to judge the competition this year. I can just imagine what it's going to be like. You guys, you put on a big show, always put on a great competition, and really welcoming and just really looking forward to coming over and judging the best of the best that America and Canada have got to offer. It's a real honor.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard work for me. Hopefully I'm going to have some real good work to judge. And it's going to be splitting hairs. And hopefully everybody has a good 4 or 5 days when we're over there.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just so much there. And you are going to be the perfect person because you'll be able to look at it and see all that happens and sort of add it into your, hey, you know, think about the American Farriers Association annual event and go to it because it's so great. All right. So yeah. You are going to be a judge. What's involved with judging?
So primarily, you've got two aspects of it. You've got shoemaking rounds where a specimen is produced. Usually over in this country, the judges provide the specimens, but for this convention, we're not asked to provide the specimens. They have a pool of shoes that they will draw out. The only thing I've been asked to do is just take over one shoe to put back into the pool of shoes for next year. So even though I might not be there next year, my shoe may be getting used to as one of the specimens. But yeah, so there's the shoemaking aspect of it. So they'll do a shoemaking round, and then there's a live shoeing as well. So where they have to put one shoe on the horse's foot, and then they have to produce a specimen shoe at the end of it. But this is all broken down. So it's out of 50 marks generally. So there's certain areas where you score highly and drop points. But it starts off with the foot prep or foot dressing. So when the shoe's taken off and how the candidate or the competitor prepares the foot. So that's marked out of 10. And then we move on then to the shoe that they actually produce for the horse. So that again, that's marked out of 10. And then the fit of the shoe and how it actually sits on the foot, and depending on if we like it or if we don't like it, and there'll be certain aspects of it that I'm going to be looking at as well. A big thing for me is that I was brought up on throughout my apprenticeship, really, was the clip at the front of the shoe, or if it's a hind shoe, the two clips, how they fit. It's a real bugbear of mine. If they don't fit, I'll be knocking the scores down. So again, it's the fit of the shoe, and then it's the overall finish again, which is marked out of 10. So you've got 40 possible marks that you can score on the horse, and then 10 marks for the specimen. So it's out of 50. But I mean, we can be splitting hairs. Somebody might have 45 marks and just dropped one mark in each section. But then you could have some guy on 46.2, which it doesn't sound much, but 0.2, 0.3 can separate first and second or third place. I've actually been involved in competitions where there's been 0.3 of a mark which has separated the top three.
I bet you don't have any time to breathe when you're there. So
No, you
that's going to
don't.
be
No, you
exciting.
don't.
If somebody asks you, what is the American Farriers Association and why should I know more about it, what would you say to them?
Well, I mean, I've been involved with the American Farriers Association, especially with the competing side, because I've hosted the AFA team for the last 7 years at my forge when they've come over to Stoneleigh. So I get to hear about the AFA through those guys. But yeah, I suppose it's like our British Farriers and Blacksmiths Association, where we over here we push for education and push for the trade and the profession to keep moving forward time on time, year on year. And we keep upping the game as well. So yeah, I can just imagine that it's a very, very similar sort of setup, but on a bigger scale. Obviously, your country's, I mean, 150 times bigger than Britain, if not more. So yeah, so just to keep on with the guys on the ground with farriers there, and just keep pushing forward with education and competitions and keeping people informed on how things are changing, especially across the world, on how things are changing within farriery, and keeping these new products coming forward as well and these new ideas.
For someone who hasn't been to this event and doesn't know everything about the American Farriers Association, you hit your mark. I mean, you said exactly what's important, and it is very much like the British one. I mean, it's really where people learn about taking care of their horses and their feet and all of that great stuff, but so much more, so much education, so much fun that you can have at the annual event and so on. Well, Alex, you have some letters after your name, and it's a pretty prestigious organization. So can you talk about the AWCF?
Yeah, so the AWCF is a middle qualification that we hold within the Worship Company of Farriers. So the first one is the diploma, which is what you get after your apprenticeship. And then the AWCF stands for Associate of the Worship Company of Farriers. I've held this now since 2008, where it actually qualifies you to do remedial and surgical shoeing. And I'm actually moving on now to my fellowship, which is FWCF. So hopefully in the next coming months, I'll have FWCF after my name as well. So yeah, it's a middle qualification that we hold, but it does allow you to do a lot more with insurances and stuff like that.
And it also gives you more credibility, and people feel better about knowing that, you're part of different organizations that really have meaning. Well, I know that you're also doing a presentation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the presentation is basically it's my study that I've been doing for the last 3 years, and it's the effects of the hoof wall angular disparity between the forelimbs and the individual equine stride phase. So I've been assessing horses with asymmetric feet and seeing the difference in the stride phase of the two limbs on each individual horse. I got a cohort of 20 horses, and I used a gait analysis machine called the Hoofbeat, formerly known as Workman Black. Yeah, I use this, and it tells me everything about each individual limb and how it takes off, it breaks over, the stride phase, and then how it lands as well. I can compare and contrast each one. But yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much because I'll give everything away. But yeah, I've been doing this now for 3 years, so I've got all the results, and I think it's quite important, especially for your competition horses, that we see dressage horses and jumpers as well with quite a lot of this angular disparity. So just yeah, moving forward for farriers, it's going to be quite informative of what we can do and what we shouldn't be doing to keep these horses sound and keep them happy, and more importantly, keep the owners happy as well.
I love that should and shouldn't be doing. I mean, that's so important. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to be a farrier in England?
Yeah, so it's changing all the time. It's evolving. It's farriery in England. So yeah, the standard is going up and up and up on year on year. and the guys are pushing more and more and more, and there's new techniques coming out monthly. Things change all the time. But yeah, it's a very niche community, I suppose you could say. Everybody knows everybody, especially from my background as well, being an ex-lecturer and teaching the apprentices as they've been coming through. So I was a lecturer for 10 years. So the amount of apprentices that came through whilst I was there teaching as well from all over the country. So I can go from one place to another and I pretty much know the majority of farriers in this country, even though there's about 2,500 of us dotted across this little island. But yeah, it's a nice community. We've all got each other's back. So yeah, it's a good profession to be in.
You know, the saying, no hoof, no horse, is really one that everybody hears and says and thinks about. But why is that so true? And almost the most important thing. I mean, there are many things that they deal with, but that hoof is really important. Why is it so important?
It's the foundation of the horse. If you haven't got, like you just said, no foot, no horse, no hoof, no horse. If you haven't got that foundation, the horse can't walk. If it can't walk, it can't eat. If it can't eat, it can't live. So it has a knock-on effect no matter what the farrier does, or what the owner does, or what the rider does, or the trainer. If that hoof isn't correctly maintained and cared for, then that horse isn't going to have a happy life. So yeah, it's something that we need to look at, and we need to understand it more as well. And this is why the convention and competitions and stuff like that are pretty important moving forward. And this is why we should encourage more and more people to get there and to understand. And not just farriers as well, horse owners and trainers and veterinarians and people like that.
I think that's a really important statement. It's just not the farriers. I mean, it's everybody out there. So what has being a farrier taught you?
Good question. What's it taught me? It taught me a number of things, but I don't think I could say it on here. But yeah, it's taught me the importance of fine detail, actually, I'd say. The fine details are what split a good farrier from a superb farrier. And it's a very, very hard job to do, not just physically, but mentally as well, because you've got a lot of expectations on your shoulders when people expect you to fix things with the horse that you may not be able to fix, but that's what they expect. So yeah, it's taught me humility, I suppose. And yeah, just the fine details and I suppose expect the unexpected.
Absolutely. All right. So one of the things I noticed when I first did the American Farriers Conference was the shoes. I mean, I've had horses and they had these shoes already put together, but it's a little bit different with what they're working with. Can you talk about that part of it?
But the shoes that they put on the horse's feet on the day.
Yeah, that they have to actually make from
Yeah,
start to
so
finish. That's it's a big difference.
Oh yeah, massive difference. And this is where the skill separates the men from the boys, I suppose you could say, and the women, because we can't forget the women, because there are more and more coming into the trade, especially over here, which is good to see. But yeah, the starting from a piece of straight bar stock, and then you have to turn that into a shoe, and this is where we're getting going back to how it used to be before we had mass-produced shoes that are coming from all over the world to make the job easier, even though it is still a hard job. But that is the skill, and it is a craft that should not be lost. And everybody within the farrier trade all across the world, I think, should be able to make shoes, because if you can't make a shoe, you can't make alterations to the factory-made shoes, or the keg shoes, as you call them. So it's something that I think is very, very important. And this is why I'm flying over to the other side of the world, pretty much, to actually judge this competition, because I think it's so important that we should be able to make the horseshoes from a piece of straight bar stock, no matter what it is, whether it be English concave or a three-quarter fullered or a bar shoe or anything, to get us out of that situation that we may find ourselves in one day, just to make that horse feel so much better and just get that horse back onto recovery, or just make it feel comfortable.
And that is really another good reason why people should actually come to the event and see it, because most of them have never seen a horse being started from the first bit of metal is there and then into a horse show. It's a little bit different than when they're having their horse shod. So it's a fun thing and an exciting thing to really see, and all the excitement and the energy and the timing and all of that that comes together under that one event. Well, I agree with you. That is something that every farrier should have done or will be doing in the future. Well, I want to thank you for chatting with me. Do you have any last words you'd like to say?
And I would just thank you very much for letting me have a chat with you, and And we'll see you in a week or so over at the convention. And yeah, if you're thinking about coming down, come down. Don't think about it, do it.
I agree to our audience out there. Yeah, come on down. It's really a fun event that you'll really enjoy. And I am Diana DeRosa reporting for the Equus Radio Network.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please let us know. Email Diana at equustelevision.net. Join Diana every week for another interview with the people who help shape your equestrian experience. Right here on the Equus Radio Network.